Welcome, everybody, to the Old Time Boxing Show on the Grueling Truth Sports Network. We are brought to you by MyBookie.ag, so make sure you go to our website, click on there. It'll take you, give you a 50% bonus. MyBookie.ag, I think, is the best sports book around. You win money, you get it within 48 hours. I'm your host for the Old Time Boxing Show, Mike Goodpasser. Right now, I want to welcome in my co-host, Christopher Sheldon. How you doing tonight, Chris?
Good, good. Good to do this again.
I guess I should have said this morning, but all right. You wrote a story or an article not too long ago on the gruelingtruth.net about Alan Junebug Hudson. It was, let's see, what was the title of that? It was The Army Boxer Who Knocked Down Muhammad Ali. You want to tell us what got you interested, how you first found out about Junebug?
Yeah, I just found it. I noticed him, learned about him on the internet, you know, thanks to the stuff released by Jim Jacobs. Apparently, that was in a New York Times rated boxing film in 1965, Knockout. But anyway, Junebug knocked Muhammad Ali down when he was still Cassius Clay in 1960. And there's only five people that are documented knocking down the greatest. And one of them is Junebug Hudson. And let's see, there's Sonny Banks. And there's the Henry Cooper. And Joe Frazier. And Chuck Wepner.
And
that's it.
Chuck Wepner don't count. Chuck Wepner stepped on his foot.
Well, however we view it, that's the five that get credit for one. Anyway, Junebugs was definitely a knockdown. And each time, incidentally, Ali got right back up. You know, he did not stay on the ground for long. But anyway, that made me interested in him. And then I just kind of kept it in my memory banks. And then somewhere along the line, oh, you know, they're spelling his name wrong. There were people that were posting the video. And I thought, you know, I knew the guy served in the Army. And I just, there was something like a respect issue that, hey, this guy, you know, I know you guys like Muhammad Ali, and that's great. I like him too. But don't disrespect this guy and spell his name wrong. You know, spell his name right. He served in the Army. When you serve in the Army, you deserve a certain amount of respect. So I decided I'm going to try to figure out what happened to him. Is he still alive? Where is he? And blah, blah, blah. Turns out he's not alive. But after his son was a little suspicious that maybe I was just going to tell another Muhammad Ali and kind of stomp all over his family, which I go, I'm not going to tell that story. I want to tell your dad's story. So I want to tell Junebug Hudson's life in the Army as Panamanian champion in the amateur Olympics. He probably could have won. It's really a tragedy. He probably could have won the gold Olympics in 1960 if he had simply gone as a heavyweight. And he always fought as a heavyweight. But he let a buddy of his, an Army buddy, he didn't want to, the Army buddy knew he couldn't beat Junebug. So Junebug said, all right, I'll fight as a light heavyweight because I can beat anybody around. And unfortunately, that meant Muhammad Ali was in his way, and he did knock Muhammad Ali down, but Muhammad Ali then really smashed him and knocked him down too, and the fight was stopped in the third round, and that was the end of Junebug.
So the question would be, did Junebug ever turn pro?
He did turn pro. He doesn't have much to reflect on box rec and stuff. I talked to Tommy Gallagher, who's, you know, a famous boxing trainer in the Contenders, Sylvester Stallone's show, and Tommy Gallagher saw him fight as a pro and said something happened and this guy wasn't the same guy. He said, I don't know if he met a woman or got on drugs or what happened, but he wasn't the same thing as a pro who only fought, you know, about less than 10 times. But anyway, good news is I don't think it was drugs. I think he really did meet a woman and that this woman convinced him to no longer fight. You need to get on with your life. And he became a union guy, I think, in the New York railroad system. And his wife was the only African-American to own her own business, a hairstyling business, in Glen Cove, Long Island. So I think he just felt that you need to get serious about your life and have kids and teach them the importance of education. And he always told his kid, who's now a principal at a high school in Glen Cove, stay away from boxing. You know, sports is okay. Stay away from boxing. It's very dangerous, very violent.
All right. So from there, I mean, did he have anything else to do with boxing? I heard something about the 1976 Olympic team.
Yes. In fact, it was a pleasure to get to talk to the late Howard Davis Jr., whose mother had died before the 1976 Olympics, and that became one of the dramatic storylines as he won a gold medal. And Howard Davis Jr. is from Glen Cove, and he was happy to talk to me about Junebug. I guess Junebug was so far off the radar of everybody that kind of everybody forgot, you know, that he was this, you know, really good boxer. So he told me, yes, this guy gave me defensive tips and kind of how to use my jab a little bit. And it really made a difference. It made me a better boxer, and it helped win the Olympic gold for America. And June Bug's decision meant, not going to the Olympics when he probably could have won if he'd gone as a heavyweight. And meanwhile, at least Howard Davis Jr. won the Olympics and got to go to the White House and visit President Ford, and they have a parade for him. And I think someone like June Bug handled it with a lot of class, but I think a Howard Davis Jr. wanted people to remember, hey, I knew this guy as a little kid, and he helped me, and he helped this country.
Yeah, and you talked about helping the country, which I think may have been one of the draws for you. He served in Vietnam. You want to talk about his military service a little bit?
Okay, he didn't serve in Vietnam. What he did serve is the 3rd Infantry. So what he served was the units that protected West Berlin from East Berlin. And
Okay.
when obviously when Hitler, was over and Germany was over, they gave one chunk to Russia, which was East Germany, which was really horrible, and the other chunk to America, which was West Germany. And America did the right thing with the Marshall Plan and said, "We're going to help rebuild this region, and we're not even going to get anything out of it," which sounds unbelievably nice today. It was unbelievably nice. We used to be a nice country. I don't know if we still are, but East Germany sucked. I mean, they built a giant wall to try to keep East Germans from getting to West Germany and having a better life. So what he did was he was part of the unit that protected West Germany from Russia, and ultimately there was unification. So actually, what June Bug did, it was very, very important, and probably if Germany thought about him more, they would do something for him. But he was a boxer, and I remember asking the military guys that I interviewed, "Well, why do you have to have wh why do you ha what good is he doing boxing for the army? I mean, how is that contributing?" And they say, "Well, you know what? That's because we told him to do that. We don't sit there and banter back and forth. We need somebody to do the laundry. We tell them to do that, and that's what you do. We need somebody to cook. We order you to do that, and that's what you do. We order you to do something, and that's what you do. So if we told Junebug, we need you to be a boxer, we didn't get into a discussion with them. We told you, this is what we need you to do, and you're going to do it. And that's what's good for our country."
All right, now we've got the Junebug, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali thing. What was Junebug's opinion on Cassius Clay's not want or Muhammad Ali's not wanting to serve?
It's hard to know whether exactly how they feel about the military service itself. The family did not and still doesn't really particularly like Muhammad Ali, but it's because they felt he was robbed during the most important fight of his life. They felt that the referee stopped the fight too fast, and that June Bug was leading the fight against Ali, and if they had just simply let it last the distance, June Bug would have won. And that to get to hear over and over again that Muhammad Ali is the greatest, the greatest, the greatest, the greatest, as his fame just spiraled to spectacular, proportions, while Junebug is just a blue collar, union guy, and disappears a little bit. The family felt always a resentment, but it's hard to know whether they felt the resentment was completely because of military service and stuff. Though I will say this, I'm sort of friends with the Fenn family. Al Fenn was the trainer of the greatest Phoenix heavyweight in history, which was Zora Foley. And to the day Ali died, they banned him. The father, while he was alive, and then until he died, and the daughter. To this day, they banned Muhammad Ali and nobody else from coming into their boxing gym because of his military decisions. So Al Fenn was a World War II guy. Anyway, there are people that remain very, very angry at Muhammad Ali. The Junebug Hudson family was angry at what happened involving their family and Ali. It's not clear that it was just revolving around military service, but they were also just very, very angry about this decision. They felt they never should have stopped this fight. They should have let Junebug go on, and he would have beat Ali and would have gone to the Olympics as a light heavyweight.
Now, the Marshall Plan, you think that that showed us as being a nice country back then?
I do. I mean, it's hard to look back on it, and I think we've been trying to sort of use that for all these years since of a reminder, while Europe is getting increasingly like, you know what, you played out your cards on that one. But we did the right thing. We helped rebuild Europe. We helped keep West Germany strong. We could have conquered them just like Russia. We could have starved their people. We could have forced them into indenturehood while Americans travel over there and do whatever they want. We had a lot of options. But ultimately, yeah, General Marshall decided that the best thing for the world and the best thing for Europe and the best interest of America is to allow Germany to rise again, but hopefully as a less violent nation.
Now, see, I have a different opinion of that because I actually studied this in
Hmm?
college, and the CIA skimmed large amounts of money from the Marshall Plan funds, basically to covertly maintain cultural institutions, journalists, publishers at home and abroad. And it was basically for omnipresent propaganda of the Cold War. The selling of the Marshall Plan to the American public and elsewhere was actually entwined with fighting the Red Menace. And moreover, in its covert operations, the CIA personnel at times used the Marshall Plan as cover. And one of the plan's chief architects, Richard Bissell, I think was his name, then moved to the CIA, stopping off briefly at the Ford Foundation, a longtime conduit for CIA covert funds. Made them one big happy family. The Marshall Plan, the other thing people don't tell you about, imposed all kinds of restrictions on the countries that received the benefits of it, all manner of economic and fiscal criteria which had to be met, designed for a wide open return to free enterprise. The U.S. had to write with the Marshall Plan not to only control how the dollars were spent, but also to approve the expenditures of an equivalent amount of local currency. So that gave Washington substantial power over the internal plans and programs of the European states. Welfare programs for the needy survivors of the war were looked upon with disfavor by the United States. Even rationing smelled too much like socialism and had to go be scaled down. So basically, with the Marshall Plan, you had nationalization of industry, which was even more vehemently opposed by Washington. And the great bulk of the Marshall Plan funds returned to the United States or never left to purchase American goods, making American corporations among the chief beneficiaries. And I think, with the Red Menace thing, it led to Vietnam, it led to Korea, the domino theory, all of that. And to me, with the CIA behind it, it looks the same as what this country does today in other countries.
Well, I would just say this, that I'm not going to defend America if I think they did the wrong thing. I mean, I'm not that kind of person, but I will say that by 1955, which is only 10 years after the war, West Germany and Japan are doing pretty good. They're not struggling that much. But
Yeah, but what I'm
meanwhile, the
saying is we
Russia,
did that
but
so we
but
so
the
our corporations could make
well.
money. And the Marshall Plan, if you listen to Dwight Eisenhower's speech when he's getting ready to leave, he talks about the military industrial complex, and the Marshall Plan is part of what he's talking about. We built these people up to line our pockets and to make us stronger, and also it made those people, those countries, beholden to us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's why when we've been aggravating to them for the last, ever since we've invaded Iraq and stuff, why they put up with us. They're still appreciative of what happened all those years ago, and they're wondering whether they should still be beholden. How long, do they no longer owe us a favor? But meanwhile, if you look at what the Russia side of things, look at Ukraine, look at Georgia, and look at those countries, they were sucked. It sucked to be in Poland. It sucked to be in those countries if you're under Russian control. So it may be true that America did things in America's own interest, but good Lord, there weren't people
But
in West
no, that's
Germany.
the problem. To me, that doesn't mean that America did things in America's own interest. That means that our government did things in interest aligned to pockets of corporations. It's the same thing that we have going on today. I mean, we fight wars in foreign countries, so Halliburton and places like that can line their pockets. They go back and they line the politicians' pockets. So I think this mess in America has went on probably since before 1945, but from 1945 on, it's been even worse.
Well, I would say this again. It's weather with Junebug's contribution, and I know people with PTSD or feel like they went to Iraq and really they didn't do anything. They wasted their time and now they got trauma and stuff. But anyway, at least with Germany, West Germany versus East Germany, I mean, how many people defected from West Germany to East Germany, and how many was it trying to be the other way around? I mean, clearly there was one side that was better than the other side as far as where the people wanted to live if they had a choice, and America was on the right side in that particular battle. Whether they're on the right side of battles since then, well, that's what Ali questioned. Ali really never questioned anything involving World War II. He only really questioned things involving Vietnam.
Well, I think there's actually things to question about World War II, but
Maybe.
I think they knew Pearl Harbor was coming. I don't know, and that's why I think that Ollie was more of a hero than a draft dodger, because I think Ali let people see what was going on. In 1965, everybody was gung-ho. They thought they had to stop the domino theory. They thought they had to stop communism.
But if America was such a bad nation, and I'm thinking, just I'm asking you, how come more people didn't want to defect from West Germany to East Germany? West Germany didn't build a wall.
Well, my question to you would be this. I mean, if two things are evil and one's less evil, aren't they still evil?
Well,
I mean, it's just like people – I heard people, because I'm a libertarian. I'm
right.
not going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton because I think they're both evil. And people would tell me, yeah, but this one's not as bad as the other one. And my point is this. If you're still voting for evil – that's a problem. I think this. I think when you vote for the lesser of two evils, that is taking a shot at anybody that ever defended this country. Because I don't think anybody died on the beaches of Iwo Jima, so we could choose the lesser of two evils.
I think that's a very interesting point. And I'll even tell people how I voted, even though I don't know. I'm an independent, incidentally. I'm not either party. And I was stuck with – that was my final thing I voted. I voted by mail. And I did write down Hillary Clinton's name because I just felt I just would feel uncomfortable voting Donald Trump. So, but you're right. I wasn't voting for somebody. I was voting the lesser of two evils. Did I still vote for evil? I might have.
In this country, we don't get to elect who we want as president. What we do is we get to elect from what rich corporations and politicians select for us to elect. And people sit there and say, well, you're wasting your vote if you vote for somebody else.
Gary Johnson.
You waste your vote when you vote for one of these assholes.
Yeah, well, I had, like I said, I also had a choice of Gary Johnson. I had a choice of three people, and ultimately I just thought that, well, Gary Johnson's probably not going to win, and I'm going to go for the lesser of two evils.
That's
what I did.
To me, that is a slap in the face of veterans. You're not voting for what you truly believe. You're voting for the lesser of two evils. I voted for my dog.
Okay, well, there you go.
I know he's honest. You know, he goes outside. He's well potty trained. Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson's a Republican. All right, I'm a libertarian, or I was. I asked for my money back when they put Gary Johnson up because he's nothing but a Republican governor. Plus, he's a freaking whack job. So the thing is this. I think he was put there by the powers that be to run as a libertarian because last year was the first time ever a libertarian would have had an actual chance if you had one that wasn't an idiot. And then on top
well, they've
of
had
that,
him, they've had him there as a candidate several times. It's not like the first time he's
yeah,
run
they've had
as
him there
a candidate.
They've had him as a candidate there several times, and that's kind of my problem. You don't get a libertarian. What you get is you get a Republican or you get a Democrat. I mean, Bob Barr ran before for the president for the libertarians. I mean, the last libertarian I think I voted for was Michael Bednarik, who everybody thought was nuts, but I liked him. And my thing is right now, our government has become evil. It has become evil over time. And Thomas Jefferson, in his biography, wrote that there needs to be an armed revolution every 50 years in a democracy because, you know, full power corrupts. Completely.
Well, our nation certainly has the arms for it. If there needs to be an armed revolution, we have the guns for it.
Yeah, and we're supposed to.
I just want to point out one more thing, though, about the Germany situation, and that is when Russia finally agreed to leave East Germany so Germany was unified, they had a giant parade and thanks from the German people, not just to America, but also to England and France. Those are the other two countries. And they said, thank you, thank you, thank you for not letting Russia stomp on us. Now, those two countries, England, they might have –
I think Patton or MacArthur – was that we should have went to Russia immediately after that war and finished all of that.
Well, I don't know how easy that would have been. I guess we had a bond at the time.
Because no country has ever invaded Russia and won. It's what got Napoleon.
No.
He ended up stuck in the winter and everything. But the thing is this. At the time we dropped a bomb on Hiroshima, you could have dropped a bomb on Russia and saved all the East Germans.
Well, there's already people that question whether it was a good idea that we dropped two bombs on Japan, let alone should we drop more atomic bombs on Russia. So it's your opinion, and I respect your opinion, but your opinion is we should have dropped more atomic bombs on people, and I'm not sure that would have been – that's a great idea,
right,
though Russia
the thing. I
was
I
a
believe
foe.
The Cold War was contrived because you always have to have war to line the pockets of rich people. So – If we give them East Germany, we take West Germany, they put a wall in the middle. We know that's going to happen. They can invent this Cold War, which number one's not a war because there weren't any shots fired, basically. But you got a Cold War that they can still, you know, buy all these bombs, spend all this money on these weapons, and all these corporations make money still. And if you look at it, if you count the Cold War as a war, which I don't, but I count it as a way that they kept making money off of us, this country has been in a perpetual state of war since 1941.
Well, I suppose on some level, but it's not exactly true because I got rejected from military service, even though I tried a couple different ways, and I wouldn't have been rejected if we were in the middle of a war. So at least when I was trying to get in,
because there was no draft. I had a draft. The last draft was.
Well, I had to sign up for something. Carter put something in place where men, not women, only men, had to sign for something, and I actually ignored it until the deadline passed, and then I did it afterwards because I just didn't want to get into trouble. And then I did try to get in the military, and at the time there was no immediate war, so they had a lot of that surplus. But if I had tried in the middle of a war, in the middle of the Iraqi invasion, I would have got in.
Well, I'm just saying,
haven't been in a perpetual state of war. We've been in a lot of war, and it's probably covered more than 50% of the time, if I thought about it, maybe more than 60% of the time.
Most of this world, at least someplace with a base.
That's probably true that we have our bases in a lot of different places that probably don't want us there.
Yeah, and there's no reason for that.
That I don't know. You would know more about that than me because military operations are – they have their purposes and reasons, and I can't defend or knock something if I'm not absolutely sure. Why do we have to be in the Philippines? I don't know that I could say it's right or wrong. All I know is that we're there.
Well, the thing is this. If this country would have minded their own business in the Middle East, I mean, you wouldn't have ISIS, which was started basically by this government. I mean, the Taliban was started by this government to fight the Russians in Afghanistan in 1980.
Well, I'll absolutely. There we're in agreement that us getting in the United States of America, basically a baby nation, you know, it really hasn't been around that long, getting involved in the Middle East in something where there've been conflicts for thousands of years was a bad idea. You know that I covered. Remember the boxing scene really started in the Middle East with the people from modern day Turkey and Greece. That's where the whole boxing scene took place. Anyway, they've been in fights and fights and fights and wars, and that this baby nation, the United States, decided to jump in the middle of it. As like Colin Powell said, I always thought it was great. You break it, you own it. Once you get in the middle of it, you're not getting out of it. But Colin Powell suggested it's a bad idea to get in the middle of this, but we didn't listen.
Yeah, and my thing with Muhammad Ali is if more people would have been like him and stood up and said this is enough, whether it was in 1960, 1970, or 2015,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now.
Well, that I don't know, because I'll have to disagree with you because my family has been in the Revolutionary War, War of 1812. My family fights with everybody, World War II, all these things, that the only reason you and I and a bunch of other people don't serve in the military is because a bunch of other people do. So it's very easy for us to protest and have morals, but the only reason we get to protest and have morals is because people risk their lives giving us that freedom to disagree with them.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. Has anybody risked their lives to defend their freedom in the last 30 or 40 years?
Yeah, I'm not sure that, you know, I think that's what we were first saying, that what happened with
the
Marshall Plan
is
what's happening today or the last 30 years.
Rich people don't have to.
Right.
If you got money, three of our last four presidents wouldn't serve. And
no, never.
They
didn't have to do it in the
Civil War.
They get out of it in the Civil War. They get out of it in the Revolutionary War. There's no time where if you had wealth, you couldn't get out of it.
Yeah, in the Revolutionary War, the taxation without representation was because corporations were being taxed. Rich people were mad. They got the other people fired up that were poor and had the poor people go fight for them.
Right. I mean, it's the poor people like Junebug who's drafted. He didn't volunteer. He was drafted. And he just, you know, what are you going to do? So he did it. And I just always try to, you know what, I know you did what you had to do.
I have complete respect for anybody that served in Vietnam because I know they were lied to. All right, and they were made to feel like they had to do this because of the domino theory, which, hell, 12 years after we were out of Vietnam, we were trading with Vietnam freely. So,
right.
I mean, it wasn't like, you know, everything was going to become communist because it didn't. And if it was, we were trading with them. I mean, you look at the Cold War in Cuba, what was his name, Ferdinand or whatever, Marcos, the guy that was there, we took him out of power. He was a Christian Democrat, and we put in his place Fidel Castro.
Oh, what was his name? Well, I'll have to think of it for a second. I know what you're talking about. Anyway, before we took him out of power, we were incidentally abusing that nation, Cuba, completely. We were buying all their land. We were depriving the people of rights. We were doing the wrong things. I'm certainly not arguing that America is a wonderful country, always doing the right things. And I do feel that for the troops who serve in Iraq and basically have been told since they come back, you wasted your time. You were there for a war that never should have happened. And then some of these people have PTSD, and I just feel sorry for them because they were just trying to get a college education, and they weren't like volunteer. I mean, they were volunteering, so they unlike Ali and Junebug, they volunteered, but they volunteered for something that we're told there were weapons of mass destruction, and there weren't. But at the same time, they were doing what their country told them to do, and now they come back and they're told, oh, you just wasted your time, and your buddies that died, they died for no reason. And that's going to be horrible, just horrible. So as I said, you know, I just always I have to have respect that you made your decision to do this, and I can't imagine how awful it would feel. You know, unlike World War II, where you think, oh, I really served a purpose, you're told, oh, no, you just wasted your time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's my problem with it. And that's why I don't see people have a problem with Ali. Because what Ali did was the right thing. And let's face it, Ali had the power to be able to do that. If Ali would have stayed in Louisville, Kentucky, and was working at a pharmacy or a drugstore or a department store, he would not have been treated the same way, and he probably would have been in jail for a while.
Well, you know, I admire both sides of the evasion of the draft. Cheech and Chong says, hey, I went to Canada and avoided the draft because I didn't want to die. I like that. And Ali, though, he put a lot on the line because Ali really would have had the Joe Louis treatment. He would have had – all he had to do was show up at places and he would have been completely safe. He risked losing his title at the absolute peak of his ability, lost a lot of money.
Louis treatment, the government destroyed him because of that. He fought two fights for the government that were supposed to pay off his tax debt. Mike Jacobs,
right,
who was his trainer, was supposed to contribute his too, which would have made it all tax-free. It was like $150,000, $200,000 for the two fights. And what happened was Jacobs, who was a promoter, and promoters have always been, you know, most of them,
yep,
have been
spent. I know what you mean.
He didn't pay the money. So all that money that Lewis donated, they taxed him on and ran up this huge tax debt. So this man died broke and poor. And, I mean, the U.S. government did that to him. He went to serve. He fought for them. Not you know, but he fought in the ring for them. Brought them in $100,000, $200,000. And they still taxed him on it. And it was still part of what they broke him with. Now, Lewis had,
they,
you know,
screwed
up the tax code before that. But
they did forgive Lewis's tax debt before he died. But I will say,
yeah,
they made his life, they made his life miserable. They made his life miserable for decades before they relieved him of his tax debt. And what he contributed
so
to America,
again,
they should have done it sooner.
What the government does. So, I mean, even if Ollie would have went in and done the clown and pony show for him, it doesn't mean they would have taken care of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think that Ali, you know, made a conscious decision and that he paid the price. And I think that really made an influence because the reason he got back his license, because in New York they were proving that, hey, you got people that have committed rape and you have people that have committed murder and you're giving them boxing licenses and not Ali. And it's not clear that you're not singling them out. So basically that's how he got his New York license to fight Frazier. Was they said, you are singling this guy out clearly, and that's how he got back his license.
Yeah, by 1970, 71, I mean, there was a large part of the population that was protesting constantly for the same thing Ali was protesting for.
Well, as I said, the licensing board, though, really has nothing to do with that. All they're doing is saying, who are you letting having a boxing license and who are you not allowing a boxing license? And they looked at the people that they were allowing boxing licenses to, and it was all these boxers with crimes on their records, and saying, hey, you're letting them have a license and not this guy. Clearly they're singling out, because what he did, whether you agree or disagree with it, it's not rape, it's not murder, but you're letting boxers with rape and murder convictions have boxing licenses. So they said,
yeah,
clearly, you're singling them out.
I mean, wasn't it considered treason? I mean, you die for that offense.
Yeah, it wasn't written that way as treason. It was written that you had refused to report for duty in the armed forces. And he also had people that had gone into the armed forces and had got court-martialed because they hit their sergeant or they did some kind of offense while they were in the military, and they were getting boxing licenses. Really says something about what kind of people become boxers. But anyway, all they really did when it all came down to it is just say, you're singling this person out, and you can't do that. If you keep him out, you have to keep a lot of these other people out from having boxing license, and New York wasn't doing that.
Yeah, but I think that guys like Ali that protest serve a huge purpose to this country. And I know you disagree with me on the national anthem protest, and I also agree that everybody should stand for the national anthem, but it's kind of what makes this country great is the ability to have the right to do what you want.
Right, and that's a small area we disagree, the NFL anthem, and I won't get into it too much, but I want to say this, that for instance, they had the game like a week or so ago with Miami Dolphins, and I don't know how many people in the stands, let's say 50,000, and then three Dolphins didn't want to stand for the national anthem. Now the owner told him, "You guys can just you don't give me a runway. You don't have to stand for the national anthem if you don't want." And they said, "No, we got to go out there and kneel while they play the song." Now I'm okay about all 50,000 of those people sitting down during the national anthem. They're off the clock. They're not at work. You three people are at work. You're wearing somebody's brand name. You're at McDonald's. You're at Subway's. You're a police officer has the right to protest, but not while he's wearing his uniform. So my only question was with them was, "Hey, you're at work and you don't have the same rights as people that aren't at work." But as far as
What is that?
anybody
Yeah,
that doesn't
they
want to
do
stand.
because the NFL has said that they understand why they protest and they would not be punished. So it is not like working at Lowe's or being a police officer where maybe it's written into your contract that you have to stand for the national anthem. It is not written into their contract. And if they those
And then the
parties go
owner
back in the tunnel.
and the owner said, "Hey, you don't have to stand for it if you don't want to." They were not being forced to stand it against their way. It's
Yeah.
whether you want to go out there and upset people or not. And
Upset people. Why would it upset people that somebody thinks that they are being basically abused as a race and they
I
don't
can
want
tell you why
everybody to know about it?
I could tell you why it would upset people, because there's a place down the street from me where I go, where I get to shoot a little at a pool, I get a meal or something. These are all elderly people. I mean, the young punk there. But anyway, they all stand up and do the national anthem, the not the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, which quite frankly is illegal. When you have a city run anything, it's illegal. But anyway, I don't say anything. But when they all stand up and put their hand over their hearts and say the words, I stand up with them, not because I really believe in it, because if I just sit down and I'm the only person sitting down and everybody else is standing, and these are elderly people, they're going to get really, really upset. And I think, why upset everybody for no reason? If I have some kind of protest, I'll do whatever on my own volition, but I don't want to piss everybody off just for the sake of pissing them off.
But I don't understand how you can be an American and think that would piss anybody off. I had a
But it
dad that fought in
would.
the military, Vietnam era. I have my best, or one of my best friends, who fought in Vietnam, who saw his friends die. Who thinks
Right.
it's an absolute joke that anybody would be offended by it? Because in this country, you have the right to do what you want. And as long as you don't hurt anybody else, and I don't think hurting somebody's feelings means anything, because this is the thing. If I go out there and I
Right.
say I don't like gay people, which I'm not saying, I'm just using it as an example, I don't like gay people. Well, that's going to hurt people's feelings, but I should have the right to say that. And anymore, you don't. You don't
Well,
have the right to say
I'm
what you
just
think.
saying when you say there's outrage and stuff like that, as far as, again, let's just say the Miami situation, there's 50,000 fans. If fans themselves sit down and don't go up for the national anthem, I don't think there's a problem at all. I don't think the
Well, I don't think there's
fans
a
are going to
problem with
get
the
mad at
players
the ones that
because they
sit
were. You
down.
just said the players were told that they were allowed to do that.
Yes, they did ask permission. They did not do it without permission. They were requested. It would not be a good idea, but you can do it. We're not gonna force you not to do it, and they were allowed to do it. So they did ask permission first. All I
Well,
said
so
is,
I don't
I think
see
there's a
how you're
difference.
comparing that to a workplace where you wouldn't be allowed to do that.
Well, because you're wearing a uniform. A uniform says you're
But
representing
the
the Miami
people that own
Dolphins.
that uniform or that logo and that jersey told you it was all right.
Well, no, they didn't tell you it was all right. They told you that you wouldn't be punished for it.
Well, that means it's all right if I'm not going to be punished for it. And the thing is this, if you think something that is really bad and wrong with this country, why shouldn't you be able to take a knee for it?
Well, I'll give another example, and then I guess you'll just tell me what you think. But when I remember Sinead O'Connor, the Irish singer, went on Saturday Night Live, national live television, didn't tell anybody, and sang a song about child abuse. And after the song, she said, "This is the real pedophile." It was a picture of John Paul II and ripped it up. I'm a Catholic. I had really no problem at all that she did that. None at all. Anyway, 3 or 4 days later, she goes into a Subway, and the guy just keeps singing God Bless America and refuses to serve her. So he got fired. I respect that he did that. He said, "You know what? I don't respect what you did, and I'm not going to, I have a right to do this." But I think Subway had a right to fire him. Hey, you're at Subway.
Yes,
You're
but
employed right
also he
now.
knew he couldn't do that at Subway because he was employed. Once again, the NFL players.
I will say that the three Dolphin players did ask permission, but I don't think the Miami organization said this is all right. They said you wouldn't be punished. And I think I believe, you don't believe, but I believe there's a difference between saying, "Hey, I'm not going to punish you." That isn't the same thing saying, "I think it's okay."
Well, see, we also live in a country where the VAs, all that, do all they can with all they've got, but our government does not do everything they can for the veterans.
Absolutely.
And this is the thing. If all of a sudden other NFL players started taking a knee because of that, would that be all right?
I really, last week Seattle played Arizona, and I'm an Arizona person, obviously, so I'm rooting for Arizona. Every Seattle player stood for the national anthem, and I think that they said, "We're going to focus on football," and they beat Arizona. And meanwhile, the team that's leading everybody in protest is Cleveland, and they haven't won a game. I mean, they can't even get to the coin toss without being screwed up. So
Well,
I
you know
think.
what? Cleveland sucked well before anybody protested anything.
Well,
So I don't think you got
that's
anything to
probably true,
That
but
was their only way to
ultimately,
get attention, Christopher.
that's probably true, absolutely. But anyway, it just seems to me that some of the players aren't saying when they stand, they're not saying, "Hey, we think everything police officers are doing are okay." I think a lot of them are just saying, "Hey, we're gonna focus on football. We're getting toward the playoffs,
Yeah, but see, I
and
think
we
if it
want our
wasn't
team
for the
focused."
president, if it wasn't for the president coming out and stirring the shit up again a month or
Yep,
two ago,
absolutely.
it would all have been done anyways.
My brother's a Marine. He agrees with you on everything and disagrees with me on everything. He 100% agrees that this thing was probably gonna go away and stuff. And Donald Trump, who may have issues because of the New Jersey Generals and how he tried to force them in the NFL and didn't get his way, that he might have alternative motives for stirring up trouble in this situation. And I would say to you and my brother, you know what? You might absolutely be 100% right on that.
Yeah, so I think it would have been over, but I think places that, mandatory you to stand for the national anthem are places you probably wouldn't want to live.
I agree.
And you got China, you got the Philippines, I think, just passed a law where you have to stand for the national anthem. And I just think this, I think it is stupid. I think if somebody wants to do, I'm a libertarian, I think you should be able to do anything you want in this world as long as you
And
don't hurt anybody
Jehovah's
but yourself.
Witnesses, you have a right to be Jehovah's Witness in this country. They just don't believe in that stuff and symbols kind of in general. It doesn't make them non-patriotic or anything. It's not their belief. I don't think anybody should be forced to stand for the national anthem. I
Well,
just
see,
said
and
that when you're.
I think this is the
I think what
problem.
Ali did was on his own volition, and that makes it completely okay. And I just said with the Dolphins, I think when you're wearing a team's uniform or a brand name, you're under a different auspice,
Yeah,
sort
you
of.
would be if your contract says that you are, or if the owner said you can't go out and stand. But the NFL has also backed them into a place that they cannot win from. I mean,
Well,
they've backed
that's
themselves
probably
into
true
it
that
because
whatever's gone
half the
on with.
population is for the guys that take a knee, half the population is for guys that stand up. So either way, they're going to lose people.
Well,
And that is all because of one simple fact that is in this country right now. We can have this discussion. I respect your opinion. I don't call you names. If you look on Facebook where people have these discussions,
It's awful.
all you will see is name calling. "Well, I'm not watching this anymore. I'm unfriending you." And the
Yep.
whole problem with this country today comes down to this, and it's lack of respect for each other's opinions and each other in general.
I absolutely agree, Mike. And look what's happened. Neither one of us convinced each other about the three Miami Dolphins kneeling. You think your way, I think my way, and yet we're still friends. We had no problem, that's exactly what people should do. And you're right, Facebook is awful because people get so mad if you have a different opinion than them.
Yeah, and I thought it was great. I mean, especially we could put it out around Veterans Day about Junebug, talented guy. It's one of those cases, and there's a lot of, I mean, almost every sport has guys like this. What could have been if this guy would have kept going? I mean,
Yeah, can I tell you one just quick thing that's on my mind? Because this is one more thing for the military. That one thing I couldn't figure out is I wanted to know exactly how old he was, when he was born, when he died. Now, these things took a lot of research and a lot of effort, and then at least I want to realize that New York State pitches in $6,000 to any veteran when they die. And once I realized that, I thought, you know what? I bet this guy had a military funeral and not a family funeral, because who's going to turn down $6,000? So I simply went as close as I could to Long Island and tried to figure out all the grave sites around there, and I found him, and that's how I located him. I located him through the military. So it was nice that he had a military funeral, and that meant there were going to be military people there. They draped a flag on his coffin and reminded his family, you didn't beat Muhammad Ali, but you know what? This guy did darn good for his country.
Yeah, most definitely. The thing that's sad, though, is this, and this is just my own tangent again. If you shut down some of those military bases, when a veteran dies or a veteran needs health care or something like that, we could afford to pay for it. And I think anybody that fought during wartime and served their country and risked his life basically for us, I think they should always be taken care of when they're done.
I agree. We agree on that one for sure.
But because I think it's an absolute joke that you got guys with PTSD that are homeless on the streets. I mean, this is supposed to be the greatest country in the world. If it is, take care of your most valuable assets.
Absolutely. And you want these people to receive health. And I liked what the military did a week ago, where they had that guy who was in the Air Force and then got rejected, who murdered all those people, and the military said he was not part of the military in our minds. We help with mental health issues. We don't help criminals. He's a criminal. A guy who murders a bunch of people is a criminal. A person with PTSD is a mental health condition, and people with a mental health condition, we want to help. They served our country, and they are still veterans.
Well, I know of a lot of people that don't get helped. I know a lot of older
Yeah.
people that were in the military that are let die because they don't want to spend the money on the care.
And never want to talk about it. You
Personally.
want to talk about their, I grew up with my uncles too, and Junebug was this way. If you try to talk to them about their military service, they don't want to talk about it. Whatever they saw, whatever happened, they keep it to
Yeah.
themselves.
I think this, I think anybody that was in war almost has to have some sort of PTSD. I don't see how you could not.
Yeah. Or unless you really are crazy, I
Yeah.
don't know. And maybe you need those people too. You need people that are
Yeah.
willing to fire the gun, and you need people that need to be upset about it.
Yeah. Well, they train people to be that way. They'll take it.
Yep.
That's why they like getting 18-year-olds, because you can program them to do what you want them to do.
Absolutely. And
And I mean, that's the other
And
sad
that's why I
thing.
got
So.
rejected. I mentioned I tried for military service and I got rejected twice, and I think the questions that I didn't answer correctly were, well, what would happen if you saw America do the wrong thing? And I said, well, it kind of depends what it is, and that's not a good answer. They mean when you see something wrong, you keep it to yourself, and I didn't know
They
what
actually
that
ask you
entailed.
that, and they didn't like your answer?
Nope, they didn't like my answers. My answers were always, because I knew that we got involved in things like the Australian government. I knew sometimes soldiers rape women, and I thought if I see a soldier rape a woman, I'm not going to pretend I didn't see it. But unfortunately, what they're saying is just what you said. We want you to shut up. We want you to do what we tell you to do, and we don't ask you your opinion. And I had too many opinions.
Yeah, and that's why I think Ali was so important, that we had somebody that was a hugely famous figure that stood up and questioned the government at a time where this government severely needed to be questioned. I just
I agree.
wish that he could have got through to them a little bit quicker, so we wouldn't have lost almost 60,000 young men to that war.
No, I agree, and I think that Ali, he, like I said, he put it on the line. He lost a lot, doing this, and it never came back the same boxer ever again. He won the crown again, but he never was the same boxer again either. So he paid a price. And when you put your morality out there and you have something to lose, that's a lot different than just posting on Facebook and you don't lose anything.
Yeah. All right, Christopher, we got to come up with a topic for next week, but it was good to have you on again.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys, I want to remind you can check us out live on the NFL Pick'em Show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern. You can go to the website, or you can go to Spreaker, where you can hear live. You can actually chat with us during the show. You can go to Apple iTunes Store and get our Spreaker app, which you can listen to live that way also. Also, last night we had the Ringside Boxing Show with Tommy Morrison's wife on, talking about her husband. So I think we're about done. I want to remind everybody you can hear us on iHeart, iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, wherever you hear sports podcasts, you'll find The Grueling Truth. So for Christopher Shelton, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
We're still having fun at Indiana Grand Racing and Casino. We're still the one with the hottest slots, newest live table games, and the best in sports betting. Only at Indiana Grand Racing and Casino. We're still having fun, and we're still the one. When you're ready for a getaway, come out and play at Indiana Grand Racing and Casino. We are still the one to make you shout with the newest slots and hands down the best 60 of the hottest table games. We're still thrilling with the best in sports betting at Winner's Circle Race Sports Pub. And we're still offering you award-winning dining, the richest rewards, and an unforgettable experience. Only at Indiana Grand Racing and Casino. We're still having fun, and we're still the one.